जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर दारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर दारी जय यशोदानन्दन जय व्रजजनरञ्जन जय यशोदानन्दन जय व्रजजनरञ्जन जय यमुनतिरवनचारी जय कुञ्जबिहारी जय यमुनतिरवनचारी जय कुञ्जबिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय कुञ्जबिहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवराचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदस्य श्रीमद इष्टवन श्रील भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ओम नमो
भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 8th कैंटो 19th चैप्टर टेक्स्ट 1। श्री शुक उवाच इति वैरोचनेर्वाक्यम् धर्मयुक्तं शृणुतम् निशम्या भगवान् प्रीतः प्रतिनन्देद्यम् अब्रवीत्। श्रीशुक उवाच इति वैरोचनेर्वाक्यम् धर्मयुक्तं शृणुतम् निशम्या भगवान् प्रीतः प्रतिनन्देद्याम् अब्रवीत्। श्रीशुक उवाच इति वैरोचनेर्वाक्यम् धर्मयुक्तं शृणुतम् निशम्या भगवान् प्रीतः प्रतिनन्देद्याम् अब्रवीत्। శుక ఉవాచ శ్రీ సుఖదేవ గోస్వామి సెడ్ ఇతి దస్ వైరోచన ద సన్ ఆఫ్ విరోచన వాక్యం ద వర్డ్స్ ధర్మయుక్తం ఇన్ టర్మ్స్ ఆఫ్ రిలీజియస్ ప్రిన్సిపల్స్ సహ ఈ శృణృతం very pleasing nishamya hearing bhagavan the supreme personality of godhead pritaha కంప్లీట్లీ ప్లీజ్డ్ ప్రతినంద్య కంగ్రాచులేటింగ్ హిమ్ ఇదం ద ఫాలోయింగ్ వర్డ్స్ అబ్రవీత్ సెడ్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ బై శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ సుఖదేవ్ గోస్వామి కంటిన్యూడ్ వెన్ ద సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ వామనదేవ్ హియర్ బలి మహారాజ్ స్పీకింగ్ ఇన్ దిస్ ప్లీజింగ్ వే హీ వాస్ వెరీ సాటిస్ఫైడ్ ఫార్ బలి మహారాజ్ హాడ్ స్పోకన్ ఇన్ టర్మ్స్ ఆఫ్ రిలీజియస్ ప్రిన్సిపల్స్ దస్ ద లార్డ్ బిగన్ టు ప్రైజ్ హిమ్ యూ విల్ ఆల్సో రీడ్ ద సెకండ్ టెక్స్ట్ ద సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హాడ్ సెడ్ ఓ కింగ్ యు ఆర్ ఇండీడ్ ఎగ్జాల్టెడ్ బికాస్ యువర్ ప్రెసెంట్ అడ్వైజర్స్ ఆర్ ద బ్రాహ్మణస్ హు ఆర్ డిసెండెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ భృగు అండ్ బికాస్ యువర్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్టర్ ఫార్ యువర్ ఫ్యూచర్ లైఫ్ ఈస్ యువర్ గ్రాండ్ ఫాదర్ ద పీస్ఫుల్ అండ్ వెనరబుల్ ప్రహ్లాద్ మహారాజ్ యువర్ స్టేట్మెంట్స్ ఆర్ వెరీ ట్రూ అండ్ దే కంప్లీట్లీ అగ్రీ విత్ రిలీజియస్ ఎటిక్వెట్ దే ఆర్ ఇన్ కీపింగ్ విత్ ద బిహేవియర్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ ఫ్యామిలీ అండ్ దే ఎన్హాన్స్ యువర్ రెప్యుటేషన్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ ప్రహ్లాద్ మహారాజ్ is a vivid example of a pure devotee. Someone might argue that since Prahlad Maharaj, even though very old, was attached to his family and specifically to his grandson Bali Maharaj, how could he be an ideal example? Therefore, this verse uses the word prashantaha. A devotee is always sober. He is never disturbed by any conditions. Even if a devotee remains in grahastha life and does not renounce material possessions, he should still be understood to be prashanta, sober, because of his pure devotion to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore said, Kiba vipra kiba nyasi sudra kena kenenaya ye krishna tattva veta sai guru haya. Whether one is a brahmana, a sannyasi, or a sudra, regardless of what he is, he can become a spiritual master if he knows the signs of Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela 828. Anyone completely aware of the signs of Krishna, regardless of his status in life, is a guru. Thus, Prahlad Maharaj is a guru in all circumstances. Here, his lordship, Vamanadev, also teaches sannyasis and brahmacharis that one should not ask more than necessary. He wanted only 3 paces of land, although Bali Maharaj wanted to give him anything he wanted.
Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Shakshur Unmilitam Yena Tashmai Shri Gurave Namaha శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకతామయ్యం తతాతీశ్వ పతాంతికం ఏ కృష్ణకరుణాసింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత శ్రీరాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగీ శ్రీరాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుశ్రుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరూపస్య కృపా సింధుప్యయేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాషది గౌరభక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంకుం లంగాయతే గిరిం యత్కృపా తమహం వందే శ్రీగురు దీనతారణం
వెరీ లైక్ బ్యూటిఫుల్ సెట్ ఆఫ్ like verses with so many like you know, nice things which like we can discuss about. In the interest of time, we will look at just 3 or like 4 points.
Anyways, I am giving this class at the last minute, so I did not like prepare that much. Maybe I will end the class early so Mataji can answer your questions. I'm volunteering you, Mataji. It is very interesting to note in the second text, Srila Prabhupada, I would say like more than 90% of the purport is dedicated to how someone can misinterpret the devotees. Like, you know, he is mainly talking about how we can find faults. So in here, how one can find faults with, Prahlad Maharaj. Because though he was old, because he did not take sannyas, someone might be questioning him. So though this particular verse is talking about so many different things, Srila Prabhupada mainly focuses on this specific aspect of fault finding. That is first thing we will discuss about. And second thing, which is related to fault finding, is what is one of the important remedies for, if we have the tendency of fault finding, one of the important remedy is to glorify the devotee. If we are planning to, or if we are finding faults in a particular devotee, here Vamanadeva himself is glorifying. Now let me see who is Bali Maharaj. Because last time, in last class, I made a mistake. I want to make sure that I am using correct personalities here. So he is glorifying Bali Maharaj about his family and the type of guidance he received. He is keep on glorifying Bali Maharaj. We will also see in the later verses also, he will be glorifying. So this is one of the important remedies if we have the tendency of fault finding. So we will look at that. And towards the end of second, the purport of the second text, Srila Prabhupada also talks about how it is not a good idea to ask for what is more than necessary. Though he is mainly talking about sannyasis and brahmacharis, obviously this particular principle applies to everyone. Because if we accumulate more than necessary, then we are going to act outside of our adhikar. So we can easily misuse all the resources which are given to us. So that's why it is very important to make sure that we are not accumulating more than necessary. The final point is, one of the main glorification Vamanadeva asks for Bali Maharaj is that he is under the guidance of exalted Brahmanas, and he is also directly guided by Prahlad Maharaj. So he is also mentioning about the importance of seeking proper guidance. So we will look at this maybe in little bit more detail. Last time I was told that I should try to finish the class by 8:15, so I will try to do that. So the first point on fault finding is very, very important, because for many of us it is very, very easy to find fault in others. That is going to be very detrimental to our progress in devotional service. Because let's say a particular devotee might have spent so much of time and effort, provided guidance to us for many years, and we find one small mistake, then we enlarge it. And after some time, we will be only focusing on one bad thing they did out of accident or whatever it is. Then we will try to
come up with reasons. This devotee doesn't really love me. That is the reason why he or she did this to me. Then like we try to interpolate and extrapolate all other interactions we might have had with them. So this is a very, very dangerous tendency to have. Because when we find faults, we are going to forget about all the good things someone did to us. Someone might have introduced us to Krishna consciousness and spent so much of time with us, and they were there with us in each and every step of our way, so that we can progress in our own Krishna consciousness. Maybe let's say someone was very busy and they were not able to spend some time when we felt that we needed them to spend sufficient amount of time. Then we will be thinking, oh, what is this? Maybe this person doesn't really love me, or that and this and all those. So that's why it is not a very good idea to find faults, because it is going to shake the underlying faith in the process and the person who is actually guiding us. An important remedy to counteract this tendency of fault finding is to glorify. For those devotees who attended the teacher training session with Our Grace Lakshmimani Mataji, she nicely presented one specific point on how to provide feedback to devotees. When we provide feedback to others, we have to use the sandwich principle. When we have a sandwich, we have the bun and we put whatever we put, the patty and tomatoes or whatever we put in between, then again there is another bun. So like that, when we provide feedback for improvement to devotees, we shouldn't say, Prabhu, you are not supposed to sit in the class with the wood, remove it, or something like that. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that, I'm just using that as an example. So when we try to give feedback, we need to, the feedback has to precede by some positive aspect. Prabhu, I really like all the services you are doing, that something like that we need to say. And then we provide the feedback, and again we need to end the feedback with a positive note. In essence, that is glorification before and after providing something, some kind of feedback. Because in at conditioned state, we don't like to get feedback. If someone is going to give feedback, the natural tendency is to become very defensive. Prabhu, you did this, I don't think I did it, or something like that. And we try to immediately fire back. So it is more at the conditioned state, we consider feedback as a medicine. Especially when we give and we behave like children. And typically when we give medicine to children, we don't just give them some medicine which is going to be bitter in taste. All the most of the medicines, they are sugar coated, the vitamin supplements and all those they feed to the children, they have lot of sugar coating on top. So children, they take it. So when we are going to, because we are behaving like children, we don't want to take the feedback. The easiest way for us to accept a feedback is if someone is going to sugar coat it with these positive aspects. Because we don't understand the value of this medicine or this particular feedback. So that is something which we need to always keep in mind when we are going to interact with devotees. And if we are going to provide feedback, we need to make sure that we are also going to focus on the positive aspects. Not saying that Prabhu, you did not, or Mataji, you did not do this properly. We need to tell what they did properly, appreciate the service, and provide
some feedback for improvement, then again, like, you know, like we can appreciate or we can provide some other like positive like feedback. And this is going to be like, you know, this is also going to be like applicable to those devotees who we have a different kind of like relationship with. Like, for example, like, you know, like our mentors and others, it is like, you know, like very easy to like, you know, like find faults, because all of us are limited. It is not that because someone is taking a like leadership position doesn't mean that they don't have any kind of shortcomings. So maybe like, you know, someone did not do certain things they are supposed to do, or like whatever it might be, like, you know, we might be like, you know, easily be able to find faults, especially with those who are like guiding us. Finding faults is going to be like, you know, going to put an end to our own like devotional life, because they are the one who are like, you know, helping us in progressing in our devotional service. So it is very, very important for us to make sure that we don't find faults with those devotees who are guiding. Obviously, we should not find faults with anyone. This is especially true for those who are guiding us. That's why it is really important for us to like, you know, like glorify or develop the attitude of gratitude, that, you know, like every day, like we need to think about what kind of sacrifices the mentor or the spiritual master or other devotees who are guiding us, they are making. Like, if you look at this, many of these devotees, they have like, you know, nothing to do with us. Like, you know, like we are not really like, you know, related to them. Like, you know, we are not their like brothers or sister or something like that. Or, but they take so much of care because we are part of Krishna's family, and because of that, they spend so much of time, so much of their energy, and they take all our problems. They consider them as like, you know, their own problem. They come up with solutions for those problems. If you like, you know, like really look at all this, the amount of time and effort the mentors and spiritual master they spend are like, you know, like really mind-boggling. So when we meditate on these aspects, like, you know, like how grateful we have to be for all the things they are providing to us, then all those small things, they are going to become secondary. If we are not going to positively involve in these thoughts, then all these small things are going to be like, you know, like enlarged. We are going to be find more and more and more and more faults. Then we are going to like, you know, go down and down and down and down. So that is why it is very, very important to like, you know, like meditate on the glories of the spiritual master and others, like who are like guiding us. That's why, like, even when we are like, you know, in the morning when we pray, like, you know, like we say that, like, you know, Yashastri Sandhyam, like, you know, like at least 3 times a day, we have to think about the glories of the spiritual master. How by the mercy of the spiritual master, we are like, you know, like given this particular opportunity of practicing Krishna consciousness. Even those people who are in higher planetary system, they don't have the same kind of opportunity as what we have. And are we qualified to be introduced to Krishna consciousness? Probably not. But are we qualified? Definitely yes. What is our qualification? It is the causeless mercy of the spiritual master. That is our like only qualification, because somehow or other we came in contact with the spiritual master who is so merciful. So that is the only thing which is helping us in progressing in our own spiritual life. That means like, you know, like how grateful we have to be for like, you know, towards the spiritual master and the representatives of the spiritual master who are helping us. So that is like one point. And
The other point is, here Srila Prabhupada is talking about, let me read this sentence. Here is Lordship Vamanadev also teaches sannyasis and brahmacharis that one should not ask more than necessary. He wanted only 3 paces of land, although Bali Maharaj wanted to give him anything he wanted. So here he is mainly talking about sannyasis and brahmacharis, but as we discussed earlier, this particular principle is applicable to everyone. It is not a very good practice to accumulate more than what we need. Why? Because when we accumulate things which are more than necessary, our dependence on Krishna is going to go down. Let's say I have huge bank balance, then my dependence on Krishna is going to be decreasing. Because I know that if there is some kind of calamity, a small calamity is going to happen, still I will be able to take care of myself or assist others. So the sense of pride and everything is going to be increasing, and our dependence on Krishna is going to decrease. That's why it is not at all a good idea to accumulate more than necessary. Then one might ask a question, what is necessary? For someone, maybe they don't need to have any bank balance. For some others, they might need to have higher bank balance. It depends upon, anyways, I'm using bank balance as an example. I'm not talking about the bank balance per se. It depends upon what is our service and what kind of qualification we have. Let's say even when we say accumulation, it is not about just money, even knowledge. For some, it might not be a good idea to have lot of knowledge, because they're going to be let's say one person is naturally proud. If they are going to accumulate more and more knowledge, then what is going to happen? It is going to make them more and more proud, which is going to keep them, pushing them away from Krishna. The essence of accumulating all this scriptural knowledge is to somehow or other we can go closer to Krishna. But if that particular practice is going to keep us away from Krishna, then that is not going to be good. So even accumulating knowledge can be good or bad depending upon our own adhikar or our own qualification. If we are not able to handle the knowledge, then maybe it is not a very good idea to have that. So I'm talking about collecting more than necessary. I'm not saying that we should not read the scriptures or understand the subject matter. That is not the point. So that is exactly ties in with the final point. That is where we need guidance, because who is going to tell how much knowledge we need to have, or how much wealth we need to have, or how much services we need to be involved in? Someone who is going to be an advanced devotee. So that's why it is going to be very important for us to have guidance. But one more point on accumulation of things. In addition to decreasing our dependence on Krishna, if we accumulate a lot of things, obviously it is going to decrease our dependence on Krishna. Another shortcoming of this is that we are going to find lot of loopholes. So there is one funny story. There was one merchant. He was not at all doing very good. So he had lot of losses and all those in his business. So he went and prayed to God. I am in a very bad situation. Please give me some wealth. I promise you that I will give you 50% of whatever you are going to give me. So that is the deal. Then God said, okay. He gave him
some wealth. Then this person was thinking, like I just gave some promise, but I don't really want to keep the promise, but at the same time I don't want to break the promise. What should I do? Like, he got like all the money he has, and because he said, like, you know, to God that I will give you 50%, then what he did was, like, you know, like, went to the temple, sat in front of the deities, and put, let's say, like, all the coins or whatever, let's say, gold coins he had. All the gold coins he kept in front of him. And then he said, my dear Lord, this is for me. My dear Lord, this is for you. I am going to throw it on top. If you want, you catch it. If you don't want, you just leave it for me. I will take it. He threw, like, one. Like, you know, the deity did not take it. It fell down. He took another one. This is for me. This is for you. This is for me. This is for you. Like that, you know, like when we, like, you know, like accumulate more things, we always try to find, like, you know, different loopholes. And which is going to, like, you know, like undermine, like, in, like, our abilities of, like, you know, discrimination and making sure that we are going to take, like, you know, like proper shelter. So that is another reason why it is not a very good idea to, like, accumulate, like, more than necessary. So again, the final point is that we need to have proper guidance, because when we are going to have guidance, our spiritual master and mentor, they are going to tell us, like, and like, how much is necessary for our own service and what kind of services we need to be engaged in. Because for someone, maybe it is better for them to, like, you know, do a particular kind of service. If, like, you know, like, we might be, like, you know, like, enamored by, like, how, let's say, maybe I might be so much fascinated by watching someone playing, like, you know, like, very nice, like, you know, drum beats. Then I might say that, oh, like, you know, like, Prabhus and Matajis, tomorrow I am going to play in the kirtan, like, you know, drums. And I have no idea, like, how to play drums. It is going to be a disaster. Though, like, I might be, like, you know, like, so much inclined to, like, you know, take part in a particular kind of service, because I am not ready to do that service, it is going to be a disaster. So when we have proper guidance, the spiritual master and mentors, they are going to help us in choosing the service which is going to be right. And also they are going to help us in determining how much of that service we ought to do. Otherwise, if we are going to take on more than what we are capable of, then we are going to burn ourselves up. Then that is going to create more issues. So that was the, like, final point. So I will just stop here, because already I'm 1 minute over time, and see whether there are, like, any questions or, like, comments. And if there are questions, Mataji forcefully volunteered to answer the questions. Yes, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
I was thinking what you're talking about in terms of fault finding and the danger of that, and also in this, the process of correcting that sandwich method. Which Srila Prabhupada, sometimes in Lilamrita, one devotee may be doing something wrong, and Prabhupada would praise that devotee. And then another devotee may be doing many things right, but there's some, it's tinged with some subtle error, and Prabhupada would chastise that devotee. I thought, I was thinking about that, and I was wondering if you could elaborate on how to help us understand in terms of both receiving feedback and maybe in terms of when it's proper to, if a good time, if I have some, seeing something, is better just to be humble and tolerant, whereas sometimes it's better to maybe attempt the sandwich method very carefully. Or
thank you, Prabhu. So let's address the first part, how to see kind of seemingly like, you know, like contradictory or kind of like approaches a spiritual master might take. One thing we need to like understand is that the spiritual master and other like, you know, like senior Vaishnavas, because they understand the personality of a specific person, their approach is going to be like very different. Let's say, like, you know, like I have a kind of personality which doesn't appreciate a feedback of like, you know, improvement for like, you know, like some corrections or suggestion for improvement. If someone is going to tell like, you know, like you can do this prop, like, you know, in a better way, if my mentality is like, you know, always going to be defensive, and if the senior Vaishnava is going to know that, he or she might not like, you know, like provide that kind of a feedback. Rather, they will try to address the problem in a different way. So at the end of the day, like, you know, like all the spiritual master does is to do something or other so that we can go closer and closer and closer to Krishna. So they will do things which are necessary for a specific person at that particular point in time. So that's why it is very important to have the guidance. And it is also like, you know, like if you remember Nectar of Instruction, the fourth verse, it is very, very important to disclose like whatever is in our heart to those who are like guiding us. Like datati pratikarnati gugyam akshati prachati bungte bojayate chaiva satvitam priti lakshanam. Though there are like six different principles, the middle two are the most important. Like, you know, like revealing whatever is in our heart confidentially and receiving like feedback. So unless we are going to disclose whatever kind of things we are dealing with, the type of feedback we are going to get is not going to be like, you know, that complete. So that's why it is very important to have a like, you know, like strong relationship with those who are like guiding us. And we need to make sure that at least from our perspective, we are going to provide them with the necessary tools so that they can provide some guidance which is going to be useful like for us. So that is like one point. Like, you know, in essence, spiritual master knows what is needed for us at that particular point in time. If we need correction, they will provide that correction. If you need encouragement, they will provide encouragement. Like if you, like, you know, like in Nectar of Devotion also, like on different scriptures, like, you know, what is the main thing which is like mentioned is there are so many different rules and regulations, but the most important one is always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. All other rules and regulations are subservient to these two rules. And an expert spiritual master are those devotees who are guiding us under the guidance of the spiritual master. They will know like, and like what is going to help us in always remembering Krishna and never forgetting him.
So they will provide things which are like needed for us at that particular like point in time. So that is for the first question. And for the second question, in terms of like providing feedback and using sandwich method, obviously using sandwich method is good, but does it mean that I see like each and every devotee in the temple and I say, Prabhu, you are not doing this properly, but you did everything else properly, you did not do this properly and something else, and like I cannot go and keep on using the sandwich method to each and everyone I am going to see. I need to have proper relationship. And one of a senior disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, his name is Gaur Gopal Prabhu. In one lecture, he talked about when or who can give feedback. So to provide feedback, before you provide feedback to anyone, you need to ask 4 questions. And if answer to those 4 questions are yes, then only you proceed further and provide feedback. The first question, are you the right person to give the feedback? Who is the right person? If you are a person in authority, or if you are a friend or family member or someone like who is very close, then you have the right to provide feedback. If you don't belong to one of those, then it is better to shut our mouth and tell this to someone else. Let's say the temple president or whoever it is, someone in authority. This is what I am observing and I am not the right person to provide the feedback. If you think that it is appropriate, you can take action. Like that we can delegate this to senior Vaishnavas. So that is first thing. Are we the right, are we the right person to provide feedback? And second question is, is the time right? Because when even the right feedback given at the wrong time is going to be detrimental. Let's say you, for example, you spent the entire night cleaning and polishing the temple floor. You did not sleep, you did not eat, and you did the service so nicely, and in the morning I come and see this, and then, Prabhu, I think you polished too much. Devotees can fall down because it is so perfect, someone can easily fall down. Like that, if I'm going to provide you that kind of feedback, though it is a good feedback that we don't want anyone to fall down, but it is going to be the wrong time because you did not eat, you did not sleep, you wanted to serve the devotees nicely, so you did all the service so nicely, to best of your ability. If someone is going to tell you give you the feedback at the wrong time, we might not take it correctly. So that is the second question. And third question is our motivation behind providing the feedback correct? So you might have told something you might have provided a feedback to me. Oh, Prabhu, your classes are not good or whatever it is. Then I'm I'm going to get back at you. So I might give you a feedback because you provided a feedback to me. So that shouldn't be the motivation. The motivation should be to help the other devotee to go closer to Guru and Krishna. So we need to see whether our motivation behind providing feedback is correct. So that is the third question. And fourth question is whether we know what is the right approach to provide the feedback. And the sandwich approach is one of those. And we need to make sure that the tone in which we are providing the feedback and everything is proper. Otherwise, someone is going to take it in the wrong way. And someone might even feel hurt. They might consider it as an offense. Or this person never appreciates anything I do. They always try to criticize me. It is going to backfire. If Vaishnavas are going to think that you are criticizing them, who is going to lose? We are the one who are going to lose.
So we need to like ask these four questions and make sure that the answer for all these four questions are yes. Yes, we are the right person to provide the feedback. Yes, we know what is the right method to provide the feedback, and we know that it is the right time to provide the feedback. And what is the fourth one? Yes, that we have the right motivation to provide the feedback. So only under these circumstances we can provide feedback to anyone. Otherwise we just keep quiet, but we provide as much as possible, we provide some assistance to the devotees in different other means. If we see that a particular devotee is always making a particular kind of mistake, instead of pointing out the mistake, we can provide some facilities so that the possibilities of them making that particular mistake is very minimal. Like that we can address these things indirectly. Yes, Prabhu? Yeah. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, please.
I have a question about in terms of renouncing, because on the topic of, you use the example of you have something in your bank account or you want some knowledge or something. One experience that sometimes one has is that there's a crossroad, there's a choice. Sometimes there's just this choice and it becomes very clear to one that if I choose this, then I would be this renounced, right? But maybe it's not safe. So if I choose this, it's maybe an indicator that I'm not as renounced, but maybe it's more realistic. And then, so sometimes one wonders, if I had just been more and more renounced, then it would have eventually worked out or something. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
Can you help clarify this feeling and how to properly act soberly or make in that situation? Does it make sense?
Yes, Baba. Thank you. It's a very nice question. So, our acharyas, they always mention that one has to act within one's own adhikar. So our action should be based on our qualification. For example, remembering Krishna's name 24 hours a day is scriptural principle. So that means one has to 24/7 continuously chant Krishna's names. So I can try to imitate Haridas Thakur and take the bead bag and keep on chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, then I will be thinking so many different things. Oh, what is this noise? Oh, why Mataji is putting her head down? Or something like that. Though we might be artificially trying to imitate the activities of Haridas Thakur, we don't have the consciousness to act in that particular way. So it is going to be just false imitation. If we are only capable of chanting 16 rounds, our effort should go on in making sure that each and every mantra of those 16 rounds is the best possible mantras. Let us focus our mind on chanting that nicely, so that we can get strength to do other activities. Typically we chant minimum 16 rounds. Why most of the times devotees don't just keep on chanting 24 hours a day? Because we have so many different anarthas. We have so many different shortcomings. So we cannot chant 24 hours a day unless some of these anarthas are going to be slowly taken away. So for that, we need to render some practical service of hearing and serving devotees, serving the deities, and with all these services, some of these we will be slowly becoming stronger and stronger in our own devotional service.
Now, if we want to chant extra rounds, we will be doing it not to impress others. So many times the problem with renunciation is that we don't want to renounce for, like, you know, like for us to move closer to Krishna. We want to renounce because we want others to think that, oh, he is the best, like, brahmachari in the temple, or he is the best brahmachari in the congregation, or whatever it is. Like, you know, that is, like, most of the times we have a lot of hidden agenda. That is the reason why we want to, like, you know, renounce. If that is going to be the motivation, whatever we are going to renounce is not going to be sustainable. So in spiritual life, we need to always ask this particular question. If I am going to do something, is that sustainable? One is, like, if it is going to be sustainable, like, you know, like, we take that. If I am going to, like, you know, like, all of a sudden one day, like, I can say that I am going to chant 32 rounds. If I am not able to, like, you know, continue that, then it is not going to be, obviously, like, you know, chanting 32 rounds is useful, like, you know, like, very glorious. So that is, like, you know, like, not the point. What, like, you know, like, we need to, whenever we make changes, we need to make incremental changes so that we can, like, you know, sustain that. If we are not going to sustain it, it is going to be, like, you know, we are not going to get the complete effect. Obviously, like, you know, still, like, you know, like, whatever we did sporadically, it is going to be useful, but it is not going to be, like, you know, like, fully, like, useful. So the short answer is that we need to evaluate where we are in our own Krishna consciousness and take steps which correspond to, like, you know, like, our own status. We don't, like, overdo it, because if you overdo it, that is going to be detrimental, like, as well. Let's say, like, I might say that I want to, like, renounce everything, but if I am not at a stage where I cannot renounce, instead of thinking about Krishna, I'll be thinking, oh, like, you know, like, I gave away, like, all the money to the temple. Did I make a mistake? Hare Krishna, did I make a mistake? Krishna, Hare, did I make a mistake? That is what is going to be keep on coming even when we chant. So that's why it is very, very important for us to do these kind of things under guidance. In scriptures, like, you know, like, we have, like, you know, like, different principles which are, like, you know, provided. These are, like, ultimate principles. Obviously, we can never compromise on these ultimate principles. But at the same time, not everyone is going to be at a stage where they can, like, you know, like, put into practice all these ultimate, like, principles. It takes time. So that's why, like, you know, like, we need guidance. So hopefully I answered, like, your question. Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu. Anything else? Okay. Thank you so much for tolerating me. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Every day just coming.